Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. Now up on TSN 2, Brian Haynes, Frankie Corrado, Dave Festruck of the Toronto Star. We've got Gerard Cherry later this hour down in Cleveland. We'll get the, update on what the feeling is in Cleveland, because Browns fans, when they acquired Deshaun Watson, there were a lot of people that I witnessed, at least online, saying, I'm done with the Browns.
Yeah.
Hate Deshaun Watson. Has that changed, you know, now that the dust has settled? And like, it's difficult if you love a team, cherish a team. If you're from that town and everyone you know loves that team and you've inherited that from your parents and their parents and their parents, it's very difficult to turn your back.
That runs deep, man.
Very like,
just
difficult
something,
to turn
something
your back.
About seeing a logo that has sentimental value to you and runs deep in your, deep in your blood. And it's like players are going to come and go. But I think the team is always going to remain.
Right.
But that's...
Like, Watson's here. Like, how many people are buying Watson jerseys in Cleveland? I'm going to ask Gerard that. Like, how many... Yeah. He's around camp.
Yeah.
Are there Watson jerseys walking around? I'm sure
that's
there
good
are.
Question. Yeah.
You got to believe
there's
selling them.
Yeah.
There's going to be some. But, yeah, like, the Cleveland Browns, of all teams, have given their fans so many reasons to give up on them, turn their back, choose another team, move to another city, that I'm just not sure this Deshaun Watson thing is going to be the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, they're loyal fans like, there.
Yeah.
You know, they're sticking with the Browns. I think we've established that over the decades.
Well, and again, he's a great quarterback, which is at the core of all this, is that it's the position that has eluded them throughout their existence since returning to Cleveland. Baker Mayfield was supposed to be that guy, and we know that that flamed out, and it led to Baker moving on. Although I get the impression that Browns fans love Baker.
Yeah,
they loved his character, his approach, chip on the shoulder,
and he had some too, like
yeah,
playing,
and
know.
He had some positive moments.
Yeah,
he did. They got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, with Baker Mayfield. So, but I also believe once he returns, which will be Week 13 at Houston, which is just incredible. Like Frank, you mentioned this earlier. Like from a rating standpoint, which seems so dark.
That's how I saw it. I see the NFL as just this money-making machine, this
right.
big, epic, ratings machine. And I'm looking at this saying, is this for them to just get a ton of ratings? Is this going to be like a primetime game?
I never
for these
thought
guys?
Of that angle, and it can't be. They cannot flex it because he's returning. But you're right. That will be the most highly anticipated game in the Houston schedule.
That's just a byproduct of the situation.
Yeah, you're right.
It's Watson returning to Houston. It's Watson coming off of the suspension. It's got all these storylines cooked in. How's it not going to be the biggest
story? It'll
be a
ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
It'll be, it
and it's going to lead SportsCenter the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it's true.
It's true. Like, this whole suspension... In the darkest way possible, in the kind of, you know, this sort of bizarre world that we live in, it is a built-in talk radio machine, because he gets the suspension for 11 games, which means he will have to he's allowed to stay in training camp until August 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to leave training camp on August 30th. That'll be a big story. Then he can come back to the facility in October, on October 10th. He can start resuming physical preparations at the Browns facility in October. That'll be a big story. He can practice in November. That'll be a huge story when he's back to practice. And then, of course, he's going to make the return December 4th against his old team in Houston. That will be one of the biggest stories of the NFL season. So as much as, you know, there's all kinds of shady stuff that's gone on here, and it curdles your stomach in some ways because it's been ugly to watch, and this guy's not sorry. He's claiming remorse, but he's saying he's innocent. It none of it makes any sense. But
no.
What does make sense, to Frankie's point, is the NFL is making hay off of it.
Yeah, and again, I think in Cleveland, when he returns, which now we have a date on that, he's going to return. He's going to play six games.
Yeah.
So, you know, can they go 5-6? 4-7, and if so, if he comes back and is anything close to the Deshaun Watson we saw in Houston, then he's immediately a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Yeah,
and he's electric. Like, he's entertaining to watch. So I'm curious in how this whole experiment's going to play out in Cleveland, because if he comes back and is a rock star and is winning, it's easy to say during the offseason, I'm done. What if he comes back, lights it up, they make the playoffs, they win a playoff game, then what what is the reaction to Sean Watson?
You're tailgating on Lake Erie.
Like, they're still going to sell tickets. Like, that's what they know. Like, as much as the owner is trying to
dance around it. Like, that's who you're going to go see. You're going to go see the run game.
Yes. You're still you're still going to have, exactly, you're going to have a football team that could be successful.
Yeah.
And as a result, people are going to show up, and I think they know that. So anyway, we'll catch up with Gerard Cherry a little bit later in the hour. Jays are at Yankee Stadium tonight. Jose Barrios on the mound. Isn't that the story? It's just Barrios on the mound.
Yeah.
Like, what is Barrios going to bring?
It could go anywhere.
Yeah. I don't have confidence. I don't see how anyone could have confidence, but it's such a mandatory moment for him to like, he's got to respond. You're a veteran with pride that has made a lot of money. And you have high expectations, and you're a leader on this team. You get skunked the way he got skunked, giving up 8 earned your last outing. And now it's, you know, every game from here on out is the biggest game of the season, especially against a team like New York. You got to have an outing, man.
And every time Barrios comes on the mound, we're saying, oh, it's Barrios. What's he got tonight?
Right.
Right.
Like, Kikuchi's getting roasted. Barrios has not been much better.
The one saving grace Barrios has is the team actually finds a way to win when he is on the mound, more often than not. With Kikuchi, it's like automatic loss.
It feels
as well as getting shelled.
Which, again, speaks to the I guess, uncertainty of it, the randomness of sport, the randomness
Barrios,
of baseball.
I believe he's, 16-7?
When he starts a game,
the team
wins.
Is 16-7.
Yes. Which, again, he is not contributing to really many of those.
No.
But somehow...
No, that was
opening day they came back and won that game.
Dude, that's like...
He didn't get out of the first half inning.
That's like the guy that plays 7 or 8 minutes a night, you know, minus one, but the team still won the game.
Exactly.
You know, you're happy about it.
That guy's not got a 7-year deal at $130 million, though.
No, he's on league minimum. He might be on a two-way, and he's...
Right.
At any moment, he knows he's getting the call to the GM's office, like, hey, we're sending you down to Binghamton.
He's dying for that per diem, that NHL per diem.
Dude, you know that
per diem?
He wants
NHL per diem so badly.
He's pocketing that per diem, and he's going to eat a Chipotle.
As he should.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not a bad play anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that daily per diem, man, you got to have it. You got to keep it. I wonder if Kevin Weeks was a per diem guy. I think Weeksy would probably splurge on the road.
Yeah.
I think so.
I can
see
that. Here
he is. Former NHL goaltender, ESPN, TSN hockey analyst as well. Kevin Weeks joining us here on Overdrive. What's the per diem like down at Carolina back in the day? Were you guys pocketing that or what?
Not me.
No.
I like, kidding me, man? My parents are from Barbados. I love food too much. There's no way I was pocketing it. And if I wasn't spending it, I was giving it to the trainers. I've always been a big trainer support staff guy.
Yes,
so,
that's a great move.
That's an old school veteran move. I learned from some good vets when I was coming in the league and cutting my teeth that helped that way. So. It was either me eating that, that's a steak, that's a filet mignon, something else, or that was going to the trainers to make sure that they were taken care of because they do so much work behind the scenes.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, you know, out in Calgary, we've been buzzing about this team, man. They have supplied a lot of content in the last month and a half, some of it out of their control because Goudreau decided not to return, and then Matthew Tkachuk decided that he wasn't going to sign long term. When you consider where the Flames were, you know, a month ago, Weeksy, and now when you consider where they are today, with Huberto locked in long term, Mackenzie Weegar on the back end, and now Nazem Kadri locked in on a 7-year deal at $7 million per, are they as good as they were a month ago? Are they better than they were? A little bit worse? Like, how would you kind of evaluate Calgary today compared to maybe the last time we saw them on the ice?
Good question. I would say this. I would probably give them a little bit of a bump. I love what Johnny Hockey is, what he was, what he's done there, and of course he'll do his thing in Columbus as well. I was always bullish on Matthew Tkachuk since he played in London in the O and lit it up there and won that Mem Cup. I thought he was the type of player. There were a lot of times I was watching that team, I was like, this is the only guy that's playing with jam, man. This is the only guy that's bringing that intensity, you know, the tenacity. And he had a great year as well, and he was great as a Flame. Of course, they both wanted to move on, which I said years ago, and which I actually said earlier in the year, that Matthew Tkachuk was a piece that was on the table in the Vegas trade. Everybody laughed at me, but I digress. Here we are. They've since moved on. I think both of them are going to do well in their new homes. But what I love as well in the acquisition of the three guys that you mentioned, I'll start with Kadri, because Kadri's an X-factor type of man out there on the ice. He's not a traditional offensive player, by way of just providing offense only. You know this, Nino. He gets in on the forecheck. He'll hit, he'll fight, he'll jab, he'll jaw. He can match up against anyone. He just brings a lot of different dynamics as a power forward as well to the table. So you lose Tkachuk in that respect, but you do gain Nazem Kadri. Then in the case of Jonathan Huberdeau, he was one of the best players to me. He was a Hart. He should have been in the top three for the Hart Trophy last year. That's how dynamic he was offensively. He's a great playmaker and a guy that can generate from the wing position the way very few players, him, Kucherov, of course, Patrick Kane, and Panarin, very elite in their ability to generate offense. And then with Uyghur, you're getting a guy that was the two in Florida and behind Aaron Ekblad. And when Ekki went down, at times Uyghur became their one. So when you're getting three pieces instead of two, I think that this puts the Flames a little bit ahead of where they were, at least on paper, prior to these deals, for sure.
Weeksy, when you start checking off boxes as far as really good teams go in the NHL, a lot of the conversation starts with the goaltender, but then it kind of moves out to the center ice position and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the Calgary Flames check off a lot of boxes as far as being a contender?
I think so, simply because in the West, and specifically in the Pacific, that Pacific is a blender right now, right? That's a blender. Like, the Kings had a huge year last year. They've taken steps forward. San Jose, we know that they had a tough year. Anaheim had a tough year, but they've made some acquisitions. Vancouver had some sweet pieces, of course, but they're still young and cutting their teeth. So all that to say, the Flames are coming off of a big year. Why not them pushing again? If you look down the middle, you've got Lindholm, Kadri. You start looking at the depth that they have down the middle of the ice, to your point. It's pretty impressive. So you got the goalie in Markstrom, who I think was outstanding. Dan Vladar was awesome. And we got to give Daryl, old school Daryl, a lot of credit. Really, if you can have Backlund as your third line center, Rooney as your four, you've got Tyler Toffoli that's won rings. You start looking around, my man Mangiapane eat bread, literally.
The paisan.
And he ate the bread. The paisan, right? Like, he might be down on St. Clair hanging out right now, or up in
he's in the bridge.
In hanging out.
He's in Woodbridge.
He might be in the bridge. He could be. but all that to say, I really think, yeah, I think the Flames can contend simply because they defend really well. And under Daryl, you have to play hard. You have to defend. And they really committed to doing those things as a group last year. So why not them?
With Kevin Weeks, so in order for this Kadri deal to go down, they had to ship out Sean Monahan, and they sent him to Montreal for a conditional first-round pick for future considerations. Basically, we just need to unload this guy. It's basically the Patrick Marleau deal that the Leafs had to tag on a first-round pick to get rid of him. His cap hits like 6.25 for one more year. But what's interesting about this is Ken Hughes, the GM of the Habs, is speaking right now. And the way I'm reading it online is that they do not believe Carey Price is going to play next season. And I guess they said his knee and what he's dealing with right now, it's discouraging. The news is quote-unquote discouraging, and certainly they don't expect him to start the season. But feels like to me, based on what I'm reading online, Chris Johnston, Renaud Lavoie, and others are saying it's really possible that Carey doesn't play next year. If that's the case, how far off could we be, Weeksy, from hearing Carey Price just doesn't play again, period, moving forward?
Great question. You know, your heart breaks for Pricer because he's going to be a Hall of Fame goalie when it's all said and done, and he's done so much right from the outset in his young career till now. He's such a stabilizing piece, and he's a steady Eddie. To me, he's a modern-day Kirk McLean in a lot of ways, and I played with K-Mac in that he's so smooth and fluid and efficient. In the event that he can't play, and you know he's going to exhaust every option to be able to play, for sure. But in the event that he can't get the knee to where he needs it to play that hyper-demanding position that I can relate to, then that changes things for Montreal. Of course, Jake Allen is there, and Jake Allen played really well last year. They're in a unique situation because they have Samuel Montembeau, who played fairly well in certain games, and Keith Primeau's son and Wayne Primeau's nephew in Caden, who was awesome in Laval for Montreal's AHL team, especially in the postseason. So if Carey can't go, then it kind of changes things in terms of where you can foreshadow this team. We know the East was deadly. everybody that's tuned in across the country, back home, or across the world, they know the East is deadly. Both the Atlantic and the Metro were unreal last year, but all of that to say, I think this kind of changes the dynamic for Montreal a little bit if Carey can't play, for obvious reasons. He's such a key piece to them.
Yeah, speaking of changing the dynamic, Weeksy, what do you feel about the way Brad Treliving was able to turn the crisis moment that was, you know, losing Goodrow, finding out that Matthew Tkachuk, whether or not he should have known about that sooner, but finding out that he was not going to re-sign long-term in Calgary, and pivoting to get what he gets here. He gets a couple of guys past 30. He's committed to them long-term in Huberdeau and Kadri, and those deals might not look great, you know, 4 or 5 years from now. But in the moment, how would you rate this sort of crisis management, for lack of a better term, by Brad Treliving?
I rate it highly. Listen, I've got family all over Alberta, man, from Calgary to Red Deer to I can go up and down. Say now, but like I've got family, my wife's side of family's from there. So my phone's always ringing anytime it's anything to do with Alberta teams, specifically the Flames. All that to say, based on what was available, based on the cap only going up by a million and change, based on some of the mud of the market, and I only mean that because a lot of teams were stuck or hampered or not proactive enough, or maybe their ownership didn't allow them the flexibility to make deals, I think Brad did an outstanding job. To be honest, I think I rate what he's done highly. Like, I respect, because when you're able to bring in the three pieces that he was able to acquire, in the event of the departures of franchise pillars that went out the door, you're getting a guy in Huberdeau that scored 115 points. And as I said, should have merited more consideration for the Hart Trophy. And then you're bringing in Nazem Kadri. And I just said this about Naz earlier. You know, he's a guy I've known since he came in the league as a young guy coming out of the O. He's matured. He's grown. I've spoken to Jared Bednar countless times, Nolan Pratt, their assistant coach, Joe Sa. Every single person I've spoken to in Colorado raves about Nazem Kadri and what he's become and how he's matured, how he's embraced maturing and becoming a little more disciplined. You know, he's a young father now as well. It's just, he became such a great piece. In 71 games or whatever it was, he had 87 points. He would have been in the 100-point club too, save for the injury. And playing on a team that has the great Cale Makar, the great Nate MacKinnon, Rantanen, who's an elite player, Landeskog, who's a really good player and a good captain, people in Colorado told me, and I agree with, he was their most consistent player from start to finish. So I think these are huge moves by Brad Treliving. I give him a lot of credit. Here's how I'll characterize it. Sometimes I see people in those seats, and they like to kind of eke out the job and kind of like prolong the role. You got to swing for some fences, and I give him a lot of credit. He swung for fences on these deals. These are major deals, and I think Calgary might be at least as good as they were, if not a tick better, because you get the defenseman Uyghur in this kind of in this matrix of these deals.
Yep, it's been active, man, for sure. We're halfway through August. We're almost in camp, Weeksy, so enjoy the rest of the time off, buddy. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Anytime, fellas. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks a million.
You got it. There's Kevin Weeks of ESPN and, of course, of TSN, and good Toronto boy himself, Weeksy. And this is big out of Montreal. Like,
yeah.
I knew the price, you know, it was always possible that Price was thinking of retirement. But if Hughes is coming out and being this blunt about Carey Price and where he's at, and effectively what he's saying is, like, in order to work Monahan in, it's because Price is going on long-term IR. So
right.
Price and his 10.5 will go on long-term. It opens up the money for Monahan. But using the word discouraging about his rehab and the idea, I guess, opening the door to the idea that Carey Price may not play this year, I got to believe that if he doesn't play this year, that he may never play again.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That seems, you know, borderline likely at this point. And that means over the course of two off seasons, you've lost Shea Weber and Carey Price. Gone. Now, their cap hits are gone. But those are your two pillars. That's your captain, your best defenseman, and your superstar goalie, who's been the man there for a decade. Both of them gone throughout COVID, effectively.
Yeah.
COVID hit, and those two are gone.
And what a journey for him to try and get back last year.
Right.
Like, that was a long process, barely returned, and now you had a whole offseason, and you still, you know, it's discouraging. That's, I mean, it's brutal. It sucks for the player. It sucks for the team. It almost seems like they might have had an inkling that it might have been happening, though, because you have Jake Allen one more year at 2.8 and then you sign Montembeau for 2 years at $1 million. Like, I feel like that is an insurance policy, maybe a little more than an insurance policy, right? Montembeau, probably, if you knew you were going to stick him in the minors anyways, you could get him on a two-way or less than $1 million. So this could have been something that has been cooking for a little while now.
They're in a weird place, though, in Montreal, because they've got a lot of guys on long-term deals still.
They do.
You know, like, you still got guys on deals. Like,
oh, yeah, Suzuki, Gallagher, Anderson. Anderson makes $5.5 million for the next 5 years.
Wow.
Right?
You got to make some calls there, man. Like, it feels like a full blow-up, rebuild.
Well, they're still dealing with whatever Bergevin left them with.
Yeah.
Like, last summer, they signed Dvorak for 4 years, $4.5 million. That made no sense.
And
Dvorak,
he did nothing for them this year, too.
Wow, I mean, that's not a signing you make on a team that's going to finish in last place.
Yep, and that's where they were.
It's a big moment. Like, I mean, Carey Price, his significance goes beyond Montreal, right? Like, he was the national goalie. Like, he was our go-to national goalie for how long? I mean, ever since he emerged on that scene at that World Junior, where, you know, back in 06 or 05, whatever it was, I was there. I can't remember the year, but it was, you know, for the last 15, 17 years, he's been the phenom of our country. He might be the last great Canadian goalie, because when he's gone, like, who do you trust?
No, it's a great
question. If we're going to play best on best again, who do you got as your starter?
Pretty wide open after Carey Price. Like, he's been the unanimous number one guy in the league. You know, never mind just Canadians, but, like, you ask players around the league, for, you know, 10 years, maybe more. Who's the best goalie in the league? Carey Price.
Yeah.
Every single guy, every single time.
No, you're right. You're right. And in terms of the Olympics, when the plan was for them to go, like, even though he hadn't been playing, he was rehabbing. Clearly, it was never an option. He wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
He was still at the top of every mock draft.
Because if he's available, he's the guy.
He's got to be.
If he's healthy, he's the guy.
And there's no other options. The other option was, like, Marc-Andre Fleury is a lock, who, when Fleury was in his prime, he didn't make the team.
Yeah, exactly.
But now he is a lock. And it was like, who's going to be the third guy? Binnington? You know, who is
Jack Campbell? Jack Campbell's American.
He's American. That's the beauty of it.
He's getting a Canadian passport. He's working on it. He's just got to wait 365 days to get it.
Honestly, though,
it's
who's
a short
the guy?
List, man.
Like, I don't know.
We haven't been producing a ton of goalies.
No, because you look at the best. You know, you look at the best in the league. You got Vasilevsky. You've got Shesterkin. Markstrom. You got Demko. You got Hellebuck. None of them are Canadian.
Hellebuck's American.
Yeah. So, it's not good.
Mrazek, no.
Peter Mrazek, not Canadian
not quite,
anyway.
Yeah,
but
not
probably is going to cut it, you know.
Yeah.
All right, Jays Yankees tonight. We'll come back and tee that up. You got Barrios on the mound. Gerard Cherry will join us, 3-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots and ESPN Radio in Cleveland. He is a host down there. We'll get his take on the Deshaun Watson news. What does he make of the idea that Deshaun Watson will return for a game in Houston? And what has the reaction been in Cleveland? Because they're doing everything they can to spin this. You know, full support, clearly financially, but also verbally from the owner. The owner's wife is coming out. The whole family's coming out. The GM's coming out. The coach is coming out. They're all falling on the sword for Deshaun Watson. It's a sign of desperation, clearly. But will it pay off? Will it work for the Browns in the end? We'll get into that more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Jays are in New York. 4-game series against the Yankees beginning tonight. And Kevin Gausman, I just saw Rob Longley tweet this out. Gausman speaking on the magnitude of the series. Gausman saying, quote, all year we talk about it not being a sprint. It's a marathon. Now it's a sprint. We've got our toe on the line, put on our spikes. We got to go out and compete. I love that. Ah, no, come on. This is our mantra. It's a marathon. Not a sprint. Actually, when you blow it the way that the Jays have blown it recently, it becomes a sprint pretty quickly. And you got to start winning ball games. Like, you're right there. You're still in a playoff spot. You can control your own destiny, but you're not breathing the way you were breathing a few weeks ago.
No. And one's asking them to reel off 9 wins in a row.
No.
It's like win a series. Win 2 out of 3, win 3 out of 4, win 2 out of 4. Like, keep it like that.
Well, even with the Yankees, get it split.
Yeah.
You know, if you go 2-2, fine. You're at New York. The Yankees have been struggling, but they're still a good ball club. You know, you know, we're looking up on TSN2 right now. Since July 1st, ALE standings, the Jays are 19-21 since the beginning of July. The Yankees are 17-24. So the Yankees have been worse than the Jays you know, for the better part of 6 weeks.
Yikes, man.
7 weeks, yeah. So
both teams pitching, struggling.
Yeah. You got
hitting
Montas
hasn't picked
on the mound
it up
for the Yankees, and you got Barrios on the mound for the Jays. I haven't seen the total yet, but I'm guessing the over is probably the play.
And, you know, to Gosman's point, guys, like, it's a sprint against the teams you're in this race with, right? And you've got sub-500 record against the Yankees coming into this. What are you, 4-8 against the Yankees? You've been sub-500 against the Orioles. You've been sub-500 against the Rays. All these the other good teams in the AL East outside of the Red Sox who you've clobbered and have been irrelevant, they've been better than you. So you got to start making a statement that, yeah, we are a peer of these AL East powers. We're not going to get beat by these guys every time we go out there. And no better time than a four-gamer in the Bronx.
Yep. Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, their record, it almost, when you think about how bad Barrios has been, Kikuchi, Ryu's been out for the year, Springer's been injured a lot, Bichette has not had a great season. Like, you can almost spin it like, how the hell are the Jays in the position they're in?
Yeah.
Like, Montoya got fired.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a lot of more, there's been more negative energy around this team than positive energy.
I think
and
after.
Yet they're still in a playoff spot.
The thing is, after Montoya got fired, they got the bump from Schneider, right?
Big
like,
time.
they were hot coming out of that.
They played bad teams, too.
Yeah.
They played a lot of bad teams.
They did. They also completely blew it on a West Coast trip where they were in Oakland and Seattle, and they just.
And against the Angels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and
right.
Did not go well at all for the Jays. But anyway, you got two teams that really have not been playing great that needed big wins yesterday. Ross Stripling gave everything he possibly could to the Jays. They, you know, the bats
Dude.
Exploded. Springer comes in on a pinch hit.
Chicken strip is turning into strip loin. Wagyu A5, medium rare.
Wow.
With some Himalayan salt sprinkled on top. Like, that's Stripling right
Sounds
now.
Good.
That is an evolution, man. That is a food evolution.
Maybe with a little chimichurri sauce.
Yeah.
No chimichurri yet. We'll see. But that changeup, that's a nasty changeup he's got going.
Yeah, chicken strips. You're right, man. He's got to upgrade. He's better than that.
He's chicken better strips than chicken is, strips.
Yeah.
Chicken strips, it's like, it's passable. You know,
right.
You'll take it. But, man, this guy's cooking.
He's better than that.
Yeah.
He's better than that. Chicken strips is better than that. He is. Ross Stripling was lights out. Big win for the Jays. Big win for the Yankees last night. They walk off. Grand slam. Josh Donaldson, of course. Donaldson hitting leadoff or hitting cleanup tonight for the Yankees. So we'll get back to that. The total's 9 for the game tonight. That's on the FanDuel app. I have no idea how that's the line. I don't. I think I might take the over. We'll see. But the line on Deshaun Watson and how many games he was going to miss this year, I think, was 16.5.
Yeah.
Like a lot, I think most people were like, it's either a full season, you know, likely going to be a full season. If you bet the under, clearly you came in a winner here because Watson gets 11 games and a $5 million fine. That's the largest fine in NFL history for a player. But 11 games. So he's going to be back this year, and he will return week 13 at Houston. To chat about it, we head down to Cleveland. Here's three-time Super Bowl champ when he was with the Pats. He is a host down on ESPN Radio, back on Overdrive. Here is Gerard Cherry. How you doing, Gerard?
I am doing excellent, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
We're doing very well. We're always compelled by what's going on down in Cleveland. And, you know, this Deshaun Watson story is a wild one for sure. What has been the general reaction to the news today, you know, in Cleveland from fans, from the media, that Watson gets 11 games?
Yeah, from the fans, I sense a sigh of relief because the thought was, a year or more indefinite suspension. So the 11 games, though, that does impact a lot when you consider what the record will be at that stage in time, or point in time, rather, when he comes back. But I sense from the fans a sense of relief. And for the media, I think here in Cleveland, we're just simply tired of talking about it. We want closure. So thank you, NFLPA. Thank you, NFL. Thank you, Peter C. Harvey. And to a degree, thank you, Sue L. Robinson, that now we got closure on this because we're tired of talking about it.
Yeah, well, listen, you're going to be talking about when he leaves camp, when he returns to the facility, when he finally plays. What do you make of this idea that he is going to be allowed to return at Houston? Do you think it's a coincidence that that's the case, or do you think for whatever reason the NFL might want him to go back there into the belly of the beast and basically take his licks in Houston week 13?
Well, I'm definitely the one who buys into the theory that, hey, had it been week 7 that he had to come back, he'd had a 6-game suspension. Had it been week 15 he had to come back to Houston, they wanted that matchup. NFL network execs want that matchup. So that does not surprise me by any stretch of imagination. So I will accept that conspiracy theory that, hey, because he's returning that week for Houston, it's not by chance by any stretch of imagination.
with Gerard Cherry again of ESPN Radio down in Cleveland. So do people, like, what is the reaction to Watson in terms of fandom? Like, we were wondering this earlier, how many people are buying Watson jerseys around camp? Or is that happening in Cleveland? How many people are jumping on his bandwagon, and what kind of, you know, jersey sales are happening in terms of Deshaun Watson?
I see Deshaun Watson jerseys being worn at practice because fans are allowed. They were allowed in up until Tuesday to come to practice. And I've seen through the course of training camp, mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, all walk up to Deshaun Watson without hesitation and get his autograph, shake his hand, take pictures with him with no problems whatsoever. I have not seen a pushback from the fan base here. And when he walked on the football field, unlike what he experienced in Jacksonville, he got cheers. He doesn't get booed here in Cleveland. So he's appreciated here in Cleveland for the most part. So it's nowhere near what you're going to get outside of Northeast Ohio, what he's getting nationally, obviously.
Gerard, is that just because the fan base there is so hungry for, you know, a franchise quarterback, a big-time quarterback to lead their team? Or is it just, you know, I guess I'm a fan of the Browns. I'm always going to be a fan of the Browns no matter who's playing for my team.
I think it's a combination of all those things because we are starved. I mean, when the Ravens, when the former Browns left and went to Baltimore and got a couple of Super Bowls, people, that sticks with people. And I want to just put this out here. People in Northeast Ohio, and Ohio generally, good, community-oriented, loving, caring people. I'm not even from here, but you'd think I was from here, how they treat me and welcome me. And that's just how they roll here, that if you're one of them, they embrace you and they stick by your side because that's the culture here in this community. So that does not surprise me that he's gotten the love and the support because people support their own here. And if you're a Cleveland Brown, you're more important than the Cavaliers. You're more important than the Guardians. And you're just flat out adored and respected and cheered on. And if he can bring a winner here, which is what people are primarily concerned with, he's going to get the support.
I read this morning that it sounds like Baker Mayfield is closing in on that starting job in Carolina. I don't think anyone's surprised by that. When they acquired him, that's what's coming. I mean, Sam Darnold's been awful, and they wanted an upgrade. What do you expect a healthy Baker Mayfield to look like in Carolina?
I expect a guy who's going to be fired up, motivated, with a chip on his shoulder, and he tends to play his best football when he has something to prove, and people count him out. So I expect to get an A-plus effort from Baker Mayfield. But at the same time, this team has the book on what his deficiencies are as a quarterback and how to exploit them and use them against him. And he's aware of that. They're aware of that. So it's going to be one heck of a matchup against Jacoby Brissett, I'm assuming, come September 11th.
So, Gerard, you obviously won a few Super Bowls, three to be exact, as a member of the New England Patriots. So I'm sure you saw your share of Tom Brady being the master of early season preparation, training camp diligence. What do you make of the fact that Tom Brady has disappeared from Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp and the coach doesn't seem to know exactly what's going on? There's not a lot of explanation for his, you know, disappearance for personal reasons at this time when normally he'd be working his butt off to have a great season at age 45.
It is a weird coincidence because I always felt that Tom wants to use this time to solidify team bonds and set the plate for what we're going to do as a football team by having his presence there and telling guys we're focusing, we're working hard, we're not taking days off in training camp. Though the training camp he's experiencing now is light as can be in comparison to what he once went through when I was playing with him. So I am surprised by that, but at the same time, maybe, just maybe, he and his wife or family have an understanding that, hey, part of training camp, you're going to actually be here because you had the liberty to do that because of your reputation, because of what you represent, because of what you know. But I do find it strange and peculiar as well, guys, that Tom Brady's not at training camp and has taken a few days off.
Do you think Bill Belichick would accept that?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you would. And maybe that's why Brady's in Tampa now and he's not still up in New England.
Exactly.
What do you, with Gerard Cherry, what do you make of that situation up in New England where they haven't announced who's actually going to be calling plays on the offensive side of the ball? Do you think Belichick's got this all planned out and he's just not revealing any of that information?
Yeah. I think he has it planned out, but I really think he's making these guys have a coordinator competition to really see who's going to be the best one, because obviously he doesn't necessarily sold on either, but he respects both of them to bring them back into the fold in the first place. But I think he's doing the same thing he does to us players, is make you go through extremes in order to prove your merit and your worth.
Yeah.
Bill being Bill, really.
That's
right. I'm not surprised by it at all.
Yep, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge battling it out. He is Jarrod Cherry, three-time Super Bowl champ, host down in Cleveland with ESPN Radio. Enjoy the rest of the camp and the season upcoming. Jarrod, we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, take care, guys. Have a good day.
There's Jarrod Cherry. Always interesting to go to the scene to get a read on what's going on there, because outside of Cleveland, people are crushing Deshaun Watson, crushing the Haslam family.
Yep.
Crushing the Browns, and I think calling it as they see it, being objective, myself included, I think this is the epitome of desperation. I think the owners are so desperate to have a winner there that they will put aside any ethical issue, any morale issue. They don't care.
And look at the contract they
gave him. They just gave him a contract that is unprecedented in the NFL and really pissed off the other 31 owners, because they're like, what the hell do you think you're doing? Now my guy's looking at me saying, how am I not getting that kind of money? And they don't care. They're ruthless. They don't care. And what Jarrod just told us, he just painted a picture of fans showing up, a lot of them in Watson jerseys, stop and chat, selfies, pictures, and he said he's getting cheered here.
Oh yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean it represents the whole fan base or the whole market, but
he's just another guy in a Browns uniform.
He painted a picture of, hey, if you're a Cleveland Brown, then whatever. Like, that's basically it. And maybe the owners knew that. Like, maybe the owners are well aware of the blowback in New York and Chicago and Toronto and Miami and L.A., but they don't live there. They don't work there. They don't operate that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly, like, they would know. Coming. They would know their market. They would know their city better than anyone, right? They probably have roots there.
I mean,
and
you know, you got to give Jimmy Haslam some credit for honesty, because it, you know, you heard him today just essentially saying, you know, is this guy getting some special treatment? Are we sort of judging this guy by a different standard because he's a star player? Well, yeah, we are.
Yeah,
because he's a star player, and you're always going to be measured in accordance with the brilliance of your talent. And his talent is brilliant. Therefore, you know, the sins don't seem so egregious.
That's precisely what's happened. He's a superstar quarterback. And as a result, you know, you get more rope.
Wouldn't it be the most Browns thing ever, though, for him to come back and just be awful? And just be garbage.
And that money's guaranteed.
Well, and that's guaranteed money. And you know what? You made this desperate plea to get this guy, and you gave him everything he possibly could have wanted, and then he's garbage. That would be the most Cleveland Browns thing to ever happen.
It should almost be expected.
Yeah.
With the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be.
It really would be. Like, it wouldn't shock you, because you're right. This is a franchise that's gone through, you know, there's that famous list of Cleveland Browns quarterbacks, and it's so long, you know, there are only a few people on this planet that have memorized it, but I'm sure all of them are Cleveland Brown fans and long-suffering ones. So why would this guy be good once he joins this team? That's just it's just the way it's supposed to be.
That's generally
Brown,
history. Yeah. History
you're supposed
would suggest.
To go to the tank.
History would suggest it won't work out. But this is how they are willing to adapt. This is what their GM had to say today. And their owner, Jimmy Haslam, I believe, chimed in as well on the future use of a masseuse by Deshaun Watson and how the Cleveland Browns intend on factoring into those decisions.
I'll be honest, in terms of the soft tissue worker massages, that's something that we've had a plan in place since the start of the transaction. That's not something that's new now, because, you know, year-round athletes need that type of, you know, soft tissue work as they train and prepare for the upcoming season. So that's something that's already been implemented in place for the past several months.
Is it a male or female?
Yeah, I'm not going to go into those specific details, but it's something that we feel good about, and, you know, we think is the right thing to do.
Is it fair to say it's team approved?
Correct.
So, for starters, Andrew Berry, the GM, how awkward is that when the owner is sitting beside you? That's the guy employing you. That's the guy who your job is on the line every second he's around, effectively. And there he is, you know, basically he's asking him a question but telling him the answer at the same time.
It's team approved.
Is it safe to say it's team approved? Yes, it is, Jimmy. Those are details I'm willing to give, because you just asked that question. Yeah. The reporter, not so much. And just the fact that was, like, I hadn't thought of that, but how does this guy possibly not, moving forward, have a male masseuse for the rest of his career?
No,
like,
kidding.
It's how that can't be a difficult conversation. Deshaun, it's simple.
Yeah.
Yes, we understand you're an athlete. This is going to be needed. It's a man the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, like that's the way it's going. But what other team has to deal with getting questions about the masseuse that the player's going to use in the future?
No one in the history of sports really is dealing with
that. Never come up
question.
Before in a presser that I'm aware of.
Frankie, I mean, you know this stuff better than I do, but shouldn't this guy be... Shouldn't he be sticking with the foam roller and the Theragun? You know, like maybe just non-human massages from now on.
That
How
might
about
be a
that?
Better idea.
Yeah, better luck, probably.
Yeah, get the Theragun out. No, I mean, as part of a season, a guy like him too, he's going to put on some mileage as the season goes on.
Of course,
he's going to need. Like, Andrew Berry's right. Like, he's going to need soft tissue work. But how is that the answer to that question? The answer should be, yes, it's a male masseuse.
Right. I'm not going to get into
those details.
It's a
team employee, and that's the only person he can see. Like,
yeah.
It's a three-second answer, and it's pretty straightforward.
Right. Or, like, this, even for Deshaun Watson, like, if I were his counsel, and I would go to him and say, there's two options here, and maybe you want to utilize both. Male masseuse is moving forward, but... Have someone else in the room.
Yeah.
Like, you're having work done. It's not, you're not relaxing.
Yeah, but
right? It's not a massage at a spa. No.
The trainer's room is an open thing.
Right.
There's like four tables. There's
you're
going to
have
getting,
witnesses
you're
in there.
You're getting acupuncture. You're getting the soft tissue stuff. You're getting adjusted from the chiro. Like, there's all kinds of stuff happening.
There has to be multiple people in the room.
It's not a spa room with the music on and the rocks on your back. Like, it's you're in for 20 minutes. You get your work done, and you get out of there. That's how
you're
the treatment room works.
And it's very simple. Yeah. Yes. It will be at our facility, or if you're on the road, we will send people, and there will be multiple people in the room. Like, sorry, that's it. Yeah. You don't have another choice.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if he's smart, he'd accept that. If he's dumb, he'll fight it, and guess what? It'll get out, and then that'll incriminate him even more.
How about this? You're paying him $260 million guaranteed. Why don't you put, like, give him his own masseuse on staff, like on roster. What do you need to pay that person? 75, 80 grand, 100 grand for the year?
Sure.
That's peanuts compared to what you're paying this guy.
He could pay it himself.
He could pay it himself. And you get the Cleveland Browns golf shirt, the polo, you travel. Like, you're just, but you're there for Deshaun.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm with Hayes.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
I'm with Hayes,
though.
This has got to be like a group massage where everybody's in the room watching exactly what's going on because there are no more one-on-ones with Mr.
Oh,
Watson.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%.
Well, and furthermore, I guess I should say, if I don't know who their team masseuse is right now, but if it is a woman, she better not lose her job because of Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Like, that is 100% certain.
Yes.
And if for whatever reason it's not going to work with Deshaun, then it should work with every other player.
Exactly.
But if it is a woman, then... Yeah, it's a simple way to rectify this. There are multiple people in the room. It's simple.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, you don't get to control it based on sliding into DMs, you know? Like, that's not the way it's going to work here.
No.
So
can't happen.
Yeah, man, he's coming back in Houston. And Gerard bought into what we've been selling, that this was about the NFL knowing, which is so crazy
but
when you think about it from that standpoint.
And he said it, man.
Get
NFL
him in Houston.
Network, you know?
Yep.
Like, they're
get
the
him
ratings
in Houston.
Machine, man.
Yep. It's crazy.
Wow.
That game
it was a negotiation between 12 games and 10 games, and maybe the NFL realized if it's 11, it's perfect.
Yeah. Although the reports have been out that they didn't want him there, but who knows if, obviously, that's not the truth, man. Because if they really didn't want him there, they would have gone to war for 12 games. And they accepted it, and he's going to start his Browns career in Houston, which will be an absolute gong show. Get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Jay's Yankees will tee that up next. All right, today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Again, the total for the game tonight, Jay's Yankees, is 9. Now, I guess part of that is the offense, you know, for both teams maybe have not been spectacular, although the Yankees put up a ton of runs yesterday, and so did the Jays. But you got Frankie Montas, who has not pitched well.
Nope.
And Jose Barrios, who's been a gas cannon, especially on the road. I'm going to take the over. I'm going to bet the over tonight on this game. I guess FanDuel and the books are expecting that Barrios puts it together, Montas puts it together. That clearly.
Maybe.
But, until I see it, I'm going to bet the over. Braves are at home. You got a great matchup here on the mound. You got Max Fried on the mound for the Braves, Jacob deGrom for the Mets. And he has been outstanding since he returned.
He has.
But Braves are really good, and they're at home. I'm only paying a little bit of juice for an extra half run. I will take them on the run line, +1.5 tonight at home. And I like Vladdy to register a hit tonight. Yes, it pays a lot of juice, but this feels like a game. He loves Yankee Stadium. Remember what he did earlier in the year to Gerrit Cole at Yankee Stadium? I think he understands the moment. I like Vladdy tonight to register a hit. Big juice on that, but it feels like a good bet. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So we're off tomorrow. By the time we get up back on Monday, how many wins for the Jays this weekend? What are we thinking, Frankie?
Two.
Dave?
I got three wins.
Oh, I like it.
Nice. I like the chances, though. Yankees, forget about last night. Last night was the blip. The Yankees are struggling.
Yeah, they are struggling. They are struggling. Like, the Jays have been struggling. The Yankees have been worse.
Yeah.
Simply wins and losses. So we'll see. We've got a four-pack of games down there. Canada is in action tomorrow. They're in the semis tomorrow. That's going to be right here on TSN Radio and on TSN, of course. So enjoy that. And the BMW is ongoing. We've got a lot going on.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Great seeing you guys, as always. Frankie Corrado, good seeing you, buddy.
Thank you.
Dave Festruck, the Toronto Star. Likewise, good seeing you, Dave.
Have a great weekend, fellas.
There he is. Dave Festruck, Frankie Corrado, and Brian Hayes. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.